In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this second Sunday after Pentecost. And today it's customary for each church to celebrate the saints of their respective country. So, you know, if you were in Russia, they'd be celebrating all the saints of Russia. And if you were in Greece, all the saints of Greece, and so forth. And of course, we had some prayers today also and for the saints of North America. And in a sense, the saints of North America are really the successors of the apostles for us. And so they were a witness, and they planted the seeds of holiness and of our Orthodox faith upon this continent. So we're in great debt to them, Archbishop John Maximovich and St. Herman of Alaska, St. Innocent of Alaska, and all the different saints. And they keep updating this icon because they keep adding new saints all the time, you know. So, well, today's gospel about Christ calling the fishermen to follow him is very appropriate because, of course, we're now in this season of the Apostles' Fast, which begins the week following Pentecost and goes on until the actual feast day of the Holy Apostles, which we celebrate on July the 12th. Now, every time we sing the Nicene Creed or say the Nicene Creed, we affirm our belief in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. And I want to talk a little bit about what this apostolic quality is. Well, first of all, the word apostle comes from actually two Greek words, apostolos, which means messenger, and apostelion, which means to send forth. So, literally, an apostle is a messenger who's sent forth, as Christ sent his apostles out. But this apostolic quality of our Holy Church goes beyond just those historical 12 apostles. In fact, it actually confirms the very spirit of the Church in which all Christians are supposed to be sent forth as messengers to share the grace of the Holy Spirit with the whole world. Well, this might seem like an unrealistic undertaking for us. I mean, after all, God surely knows that most of us are just regular people. You know, we're not great apostles who go around working miracles and, you know, establishing churches all over the world. And yet, many of the Holy Fathers have pointed out that Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and the other apostles were not chosen to follow Christ because they were powerful, wise, and educated. As Father Milorad Lonchar in one of his homilies points out, God does not need a powerful man because he is all-powerful. He does not need a wise man because he is all-wise. He does not need an educated man, for he is all-knowing. These humble fishermen were chosen to follow Christ because they had pure hearts, piety, and openness to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a passage that kind of illustrates some of this, and it's when the great apostle Paul talks about how he was exalted, you know, by Christ, but that so he wouldn't get too exalted, Satan was permitted to buffet him with this thorn in the flesh, and no one knows for sure exactly what that was. It may have been some illness or some temptation or something like this. But anyway, he prayed to Christ three times that he would remove this thorn from his flesh and take this away from him. But the Lord, instead of taking that struggle away from him, said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And St. Paul then went on to say, "Gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." So here Paul talks about how he finds strength in this saying of Christ, that it's not him that is running around doing all these great works and miracles. He recognizes that it's Christ working in him. And that's, of course, a great model for us. You might remember a story from the Old Testament about righteous Gideon. By God's direction, he and his army of some 32,000 soldiers were supposed to fight the Midianites, who had a much larger army, evidently some 135,000. However, God wanted to arrange things so that Gideon would see the power of God in this. He told Gideon to send away anyone who did not want to fight, and so some of the men left, and then had the remaining men drink water at a stream. There were 300 men who knelt down by the stream, cupped their hands and drank, while the rest just got down on all fours and lapped the water up, much in the way a dog would drink. God told Gideon to send away all the rest of his army and just keep those 300 men, and that he would make them victorious in battle against that very large and formidable army of the Midianites. And so at night, they were commanded to spread out across the ridge of this hill overlooking the valley where all these Midianites were. And they had these torches in these pitchers of oil. And so all of a sudden, Gideon gave the signal, and they lit those torches, and then they dropped them, so it made this big flame. And they all yelled and screamed and blew trumpets, and the Midianites, you know, woke up, they're sleeping, and they looked up on the hill, and it looked like a million guys were descending, but really it was God's power that made them be afraid. And so they just took off running. And so Gideon and his army went and, you know, killed off all these guys and killed their princes and everything else. And so they had this great victory just from this little tiny band of 300 men. But they were victorious because these humble, rough guys that were the soldiers were willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. It was by the power of God that worked through them. Because if they thought, well, I'm a great swordsman, or I'm a great spear bearer or something, you know, and I can kill 100 guys myself, well, then they probably would have gotten defeated because they would have been prideful. So this story and these things like this is really a very great consolation for us. You know, let's look at this. You know, we're a very small minority here of Orthodox Christians living in a very large population who are not Orthodox, you know, and so they don't really necessarily support. We're trying to fast. On every corner, there's burgers cooking. You know, I mean, it's not an Orthodox culture that we live in today, of course. And sometimes it can seem somewhat overwhelming when we look around and we see so many other churches that have vast resources, and they just have so many more members and money and all that, and we look around and we're kind of poor and small, and you know, and sometimes we might be tempted to grow faint-hearted and even begin to doubt, you know, whether or not we can really, you know, make it and that sort of thing. But when we think like that, let's remember this story about Gideon and how his tiny little group of men, you know, accomplished this great victory, or St. Paul, who when he was weak, then he was strong. Because it's true that in Christ's strength, we were made weak. I mean, in Christ's weakness, in our weakness, Christ's strength is made manifest. And this is also what this tiny band of the original apostles and disciples of the Lord were up against, you know, 2,000 years ago. They too lived in a culture that was not Christian. You know, they were surrounded by vast numbers of Jews, Romans, pagans, and most of whom were quite hostile towards their faith and also towards the Lord. And yet, they followed Christ, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, obviously accomplished great things, worked miracles, and established our Holy Church throughout the world. So, how should we go about trying to follow these, imitate these apostles and disciples? Well, St. John Climacus, who, if you'll remember, was the author of the book The Ladder of Divine Ascent, it's an ascetic book about the spiritual life, and this is one we celebrate his memory every year on the, I believe it's the fourth Sunday of Great Lent. And he was asked this question: how could a lay person who has, you know, a family and lives in the world and has many social cares and responsibilities, how could such a person live a spiritual way of life? Because obviously monastics who live in the desert and mountains, they have all the time in the world to pray and to fast and to work on their spiritual life. But the rest of us, you know, we have to pay bills and go grocery shopping, do our laundry, and, you know, raise our kids. Well, this is what St. John Climacus said: do all the good you can. Do not speak evil of anyone. Do not steal from anyone. Do not lie to anyone. Do not be arrogant towards anyone. Do not hate anyone. Do not be absent from the divine services. Be compassionate to the needy. Do not offend anyone. Do not wreck another man's domestic happiness. And be content with what your own wives can give you. If you behave in this way, you will not be far from the kingdom of heaven. So let us take courage, brothers and sisters, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And let us call upon his help so that we can follow in the footsteps of all those apostles and disciples who went before us, so that many others might find their way to salvation, and that we too one day may be counted worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Glory be to our God.